Clipped Wings by Moon Raccoon, read for you by Flamingwell. This Guardian fanwork is rated teen and up, and no archive warnings apply. Additional tags include Hurt Comfort, Wing Fic, Post Canon, Fix It, Hurt Shenwei, Long Haired Shenwei, Winged Shenwei, Trapped, Claustrophobia, references to canonical being buried alive, grief, body horror, mention of self-harm, Shenwei's power of being a nerd, self-rescue, sacrifices, choices and agency. Pod together. Summary. The strange weights move along Shenwei's back. Heart hammering in his chest, he reaches backward and cannot swallow a cry of surprise that echoes off his narrow prison. His wings. His wings are back. But Yitsun is nowhere to be found. Zhao Yunlun isn't here either. And Shenwei is trapped. Shenwei dies with his brother. He says farewell to Zhao Yunlun. Shenwei wakes up alone. He is in pitch darkness. Running his hands around him, he feels large slabs of cold slate surrounding him. No bars, no door hinges can be found. The floor is also smooth and featureless. He is crumpled into a heap, pressed down by a crushing, heavy mass at his back. He stands up, only to crash back down at once. His head spins with unsettling disorientation. He tries to recall what led him here. He recollects moments. Yitsun's torture. Zhao Yunlun. Being eaten. Asking Lin Jing to help him execute his plan. The ice's grip on his heart. The wrench of pulling it out. There was a powerful explosion bleaching his whole world. Then nothing was left to do. The last thing he remembers is talking with Yitsun in a timeless palace between the purple folds of the universe. Nothing about how he ended up wherever this is. There are rocks left and right. He cannot hear anything but his own breaths, his pounding heart. His body hurts from being in an awkward position for who knows how long. Mostly, he feels a bone-deep sense of exhaustion. His hands keep brushing against the sides of his prison. He must be shaking. Small spaces have always been difficult to him. With time, he has been able to acclimate himself to the enclosed rooms of modern Haixing. On clear nights, he keeps his balcony doors open to feel the indigo wind on his face. In cars, he learned to look out the windows to the blue skies. Yet he's always acutely aware of the relative position of his limbs to the nearest walls. His sense tells him this place is abnormal. The shape is odd, but also something about himself is also strange. There is more to him than usual. Confusing sensations filter through, something he should know. The weight at his back is familiar, yet out of place. The unexpected feeling of a bruising touch where there should only be dull scar tissue. The weight moves along Shenfei's back. Heart hammering in his chest, he reaches back and cannot swallow a cry of surprise that echoes off his prison. His wings. His wings are back. But Yetsun is nowhere to be found. Dou Yunlan isn't here either. And Shenwei is trapped. There is no wind to feel, no sky to see, not even anything to grip. He has his wings, but he is stuck, caged by rocks, alone. Again. It's too much, all at once. Control that had always been tightly coiled inside of Shenwei finally snaps. Standing up too fast, he starts battering all sides of his prison. First, his dark energy scatters outward like so much smoke, despairingly inefficient. He uses his body next. His fists scrape against rocks, his toes bruise from useless kicks. He tries to spread his wings but only scrapes them against the rough walls, marginal feathers wrenching out of their follicles. His hands scrabble at the walls then, his feet searching for purchase to go up, out. He has to pull free, needs to fly, stretch for the skies. Under his assault, some rocks give way, shifting minutely, causing rocks higher up to fragment. He reflexively protects his head as fist-sized chunks painfully batter his wings and arms. In the aftermath, grit particles fill the narrow space, turning the air chalky. Shenwei coughs, but that only makes him inhale another lungful of dust. He feels even more trapped than before. His heart races, his breaths shorten. He is way too hot, yet shaking with cold. He doesn't notice his vision going out, since he is already curled up in a ball underneath the relative protection of his folded wings. Shenwei is in between worlds, the release of Yetsun's power having created a rare crease in time and space. Here, anything could happen. He offers Yetsun the truth, and at long last, Yetsun takes his hand. They walk together up the stairs, to the gate yawning into the empty, bruised universe. Together, before the welcoming stars. Shenwei hears his name. He turns around, sees Dou Yunlan on the ground, hurt but alive. Shenwei smiles at him. He lets go of Yitsun's hand to unclasp his amber pendant and lets it roll down the stairs towards Dou Yunlan. Dou Yunlan catches it. Just like their hearts, it is cracked open. Dou Yunlan's smile is watery. So is Shenwei's. Shenwei turns away from Dou Yunlan and sees Yetsun watching him from the doorway. Yetsun has walked on a couple steps alone. His red-rimmed gaze flickers from Shenwei to Dou Yunlan behind him. Shenwei and Yetsun had been inseparable since birth, so even after all that has happened between them, Shenwei understands at once what it means when Yetsun's face twitches. In a blink, it goes from infinitely sad to pig-headed determination. "Didi," Shenwei says, alarmed. He steps forward, hand raised. Yetsun shakes his head. "Go home," he whispers. He is crying as he steps back into the void. Shen Wei rushes forward, but the doors close between them. Yitzun! Shen Wei pounds on the door. Didi! Shen Wei! Hands grab him. Zhao Yunlan! Shen Wei ignores him. He can't lose his brother. Not again. Come back! He screams. Shen Wei jerks to awareness. His limbs spread in forgotten reflex, shoving uselessly against the walls around him. With nowhere to go, his wings rebound on the sides and propel him forward. His face smacks into rock, nose and forehead cracking on rough stone. He hisses, hears it reverberate oddly. It jars Shen Wei's memories, turning himself into a bomb, finally clearing the air with Yitzun, only for Yitzun to abandon him. The tomb, his wings, being confined, dark energy failing him, trying to escape but only achieving panic. Shen Wei takes a breath, then another one, and another. He keeps going, willing himself to calm down. This is made harder by the fact his nose is bleeding. Blood is dripping into his panting mouth. The walls are so close. His mind keeps bringing up aching memories. Pain in his wings reminds him of waking up at the bottom of a cliff, but they feel sore and cramped, not the twisted, broken mess of back then. The taste of blood and dust reminds him of waking up underground. But he's surrounded by solid rock, not packed earth. He twists his fingers, attempts to gather dark energy, but it slithers from his grasp, silk ribbons skittering over the rocks and fading to nothing, absorbed by this very environment. Shen Wei focuses on his physical perceptions. Dust and blood are drying to a grime paste on his face. He's tired, but not parched yet, so he can't have been here too long. He listens. There is no sound, not even the faint ticks of his watch. He's not wearing it. In fact, he is not in his professional attire, nor his typical Hei Pao Shi outfit. His fan braces are there, but his mask is missing. His hair is long, the front parts neatly braided away from his face. Investigating the layers crisscrossing his upper body, shaking his limbs to feel the shift of garments, he counts two diagonal leather straps one way and one another, holding a half cloak. These clothes open at his back, allowing his wings ease of movement. This is his own old Di Xing outfit. He hasn't had wings since he sat up and let the sands of time drift off his face. This is the outfit Shen Wei wore after his final battle with Yitzun. His brother, who is gone forever. Not because of Shen Wei, but for him this time. With horror, Shen Wei realizes that, willfully or not, Yitzun used his death and that of those he had already consumed in exchange for everyone's lives. A wave of grief sweeps over Shen Wei, as sudden and uncontrollable as the panic and anger that had consumed him before. He weeps, the way he never allowed himself to do before. The throbbing pain in his useless wings reawakens emotions he had left behind, buried in the sand decades ago, or perhaps even earlier, at the uncaring feet of tall cliffs. Truly alone in this tomb, he shakes, tremors radiating from his core and twisting free from his purposeless body. Tears slide down his nose to soak his sleeves. It takes a long time for the storm to pass. The receding morning ripples seem to wash his marrow clean, eroding rage and guilt alike, leaving hollow spaces within instead of gnarled scars. Exhausted and feeling as void as the universe itself, Shenwei settles into a meditative position and tilts his head back. His parents taught him that space could always see him, even when he couldn't see it, and that it would always welcome him. He hopes it greets his brother fairly. Shenwei once woke up at the bottom of a cliff with broken wings. Even leaning on the staff he had just found, it took him ages to climb back up, dragging their throbbing weight through bushes and over rocks. By the time he made it all the way to the top, Hyetsun was long gone. A handful of mixed black and white feathers were all that was left. Shenwei's wings never healed right after that. They functioned, but they also became a burden. During storms, which happened most days, they could ache so fiercely he was forced to lay down, feeling drained and too easy of a target. He learned the power to fold and hide them from sight. It turned them to more of an advantage and less of a potential weakness during fights. Even though he was broken, he could be useful to somebody else. His wings. Shenwei opens his eyes, unfolds his wings, and stands up. At the very edge of his sight, he can make out the outline of his surroundings. Faint, ashy light reaches him from high above, leaking through some new cracks his earlier havoc may have created in the mortar. He touches the slate blocks around him carefully. They are dark and foliated, the homogeneous metamorphic rock made of fossils and volcanic ash that was very popular in newly constructed Dixing. Reaching out, he finds there is space above him. The light is too dim to make out the ceiling, but he has an inkling of where he might be now.
"Hello?"
he says aloud, and listens attentively as it faintly echoes upward. This isn't a tomb. Or at least, not yet. It is a pillar. A hollow Dixing pillar, probably with powerful wards carved on all sides. His energies must have drifted and got caught in one. That, or part of Yetsun, was still linked to one, and he sent Shenwei's scattered atoms towards one. Be it either out of revenge or protectiveness, it effectively allowed his body to coalesce into its original shape. They are typically used to store energy, mostly to dissipate the Xing's frequent lightning storms, or trap energy beings. That's why his direct power assaults kept being swallowed effortlessly. By design, they're impervious to energy bursts. However, as evidenced by the fact his attacks did eventually affect them, They aren't meant to trap creatures of flesh and bone. What's more, they have a lozenge pattern made of gems, high up, that reacts to the energy within to inform the palace's watchers whether the pillar is charged. If Shen Wei can reach that space, he could target it directly. These gem seals are no less solid than the stones around them, but perhaps the mortar holding them together could be cracked loose. If nothing else, it might send a message to the guards on duty that something is amiss. Shen Wei needs to climb up the chimney shape. The walls are too smooth to offer purchase, but they are close enough he could brace his body between opposite sides and clamber up. Perhaps his wings can be of use once more. Pushing against the sides with his wings and with his feet at the same time, Shen Wei crawls his way upward. He holds on to the sides of the pillar, jamming his fingers on any shallow grips he can feel. The space narrows as he gains altitude, making him slip often, grating hands and his wings' joints on the slates. Gritting his teeth, hands and legs and wings trembling, he pushes to a stop. He catches his breath and resumes climbing. As he nears it, the reactive pattern midway up starts to glow. A silvery shimmer so faint Shen Wei can only glimpse it from the corner of his eye. Yet there it is. At last, once he reaches it, Shen Wei spreads his wings as wide as he can in the confined space, using them to anchor himself and get leverage. Then, he laces his feet with dark energy and kicks the gemstone pattern again and again. Each strike reverberates painfully through his wings. Between their awkward angle and the cramped space, they are taking the brunt of the recoil of his hits. After a dozen kicks, his wings are beyond sore, rubbed raw from friction. The gemstone flickers, but doesn't budge. After 24, Shen Wei hears things start to crack. By grim experience, he knows it's his wings. Their strong ligaments allow them to lift him, but the bones are as brittle as any bird's. He shifts his weight to press against different bones, then goes back to attacking the seal. He has done much worse to his wings before, when it was necessary. He can do it again. At last, he hears a different type of fracture. The patterned gems are shifting minutely, grinding over each other, breaking the containment seals. Agony is dulling his senses, but even though he can't trust his hearing, he can feel it in the sluggish trickle of dark energy finally not being absorbed by the monolith. A tiny piece of mortar loosens fully, allowing fresh air from outside to seep in. Shen Wei breathes it in, embracing it like clear drops of water on parched skin. As his dark energy gains influence over his surroundings, the stones shine brighter and brighter, even as Shen Wei's body feels heavier by the second. It is not enough yet, but he feels determination holding him together better than any armor. Shen Wei gave his final battle all that he had. His strength, his joy, his sorrows, his heart's blood, his life, his brother. "Isn't it enough?" he asks aloud and pours all his remaining strength, all his energy, into the next kick. The gems in front of him glow bright as fire, blinding Shen Wei. Then they explode. He tumbles down the chute, legs and wings giving out. When Shen Wei woke up, after centuries of stasis, he found his wings irreparably broken. Crushed in the earthquake, just like the rest of him, they healed permanently misaligned. Slim bones interrupted by thick knots in all the wrong places. His entire torso locked with agony at every step. He knew no healing could fix them this time. But there was something else he could do to make the unbearable pain stop. It would have been unthinkable when his brother was still there. They used to soar everywhere together, landing only to rest or eat. Quinlan had also been delighted by Shen Wei's wings. His brother was gone. Quinlan was gone. Shen Wei found a deserted place where he could do it. It was excruciating. The injury took a very long time to heal. That was all right. He already wore masks all the time by then. Shen Wei's world is tilting, everything hurting. His ears are ringing. The whole shaft is filled with twisting puffs of mortar dust, sand-filled light barely filtering through. Feebly, Shen Wei coughs and squints through his red-tinged haze. Debris covers Shen Wei, but it isn't what keeps him down. His wings are too battered to be of any help anymore. From below, the hole he has managed to make seems very small. Shen Wei will stand up again, eventually. First, he just needs to stay still for a little while and get his head to concentrate. He doesn't notice how long he stares at the window he has created, but at some point, its crimson, jagged contours shifts. Something above, outside, moves, scrambling over the rocks. A shadow appears, blocking the light. Then a muffled, yet achingly familiar voice yells,
"Chief, you were right. He's down here. Is he hurt? Move it, damn cat. We need to blast this open wider."
Da Qing squirms his way into the tiny opening with feline elasticity. It sends dirt into Shen Wei's face, and he closes his eyes. When he opens them again, he has lost some time. Zhu Hong is holding him up. She's mostly shifted into her snake form, curling under his wings, his flanks, the only thing allowing him to stand. Da Qing is perched on a narrow ledge, halfway up, like a goat clinging to a mountainside. His fur is gray with dust. The gap above is much wider. Several pairs of hands appear and disappear even as he watches, pulling and digging at the loosened stones. Dark energy is flowing in from where the wards are being torn down, rushing into Shen Wei's empty meridians like circulation flooding a numbed limb. It feels like a thousand spikes piercing him at once, making it hard to focus on anything else. Shen Wei feels his awareness waver in and out.
"All right, pull,"
Da Qing calls at some point. Hands smeared with blood and dirt grab at Shen Wei's arms, his clothes, even as Zhu Hong and Da Qing push him up from below, hauling him out of the pillar. That is a sensible course of action. Shen Wei braces for the pain. It still steals his breath away. His folded, cramped wings make maneuvering his bulk through the opening difficult. Being pulled upward forces them to stretch from their protective curl, and they scrape against the sides of the hole, catching at the irregular opening as he's extracted from his prison. Shen Wei cannot mask his suffering, and he hears exclamations from those outside the pillar.
Hey, careful! What is... Oh, Shen Wei, they're back?
Shen Wei grimly thinks that they didn't last very long this time. Before he can voice anything, though, the center mass of his wings is pulled free from the edges of the hole. Shen Wei tries to utter a warning, but at that moment one wing gets unstuck and spills all the way out with agonizing speed. It unbalances him, its dead weight dragging Shen Wei down the other side, outside the pillar. Once more, Shen Wei falls. The SID catches him. Shen Wei misses flying. It is a fact he doesn't linger on anymore, simply acknowledges, like he does any of his scars. It is there. It means something. And he is who he is because of the path he walked. He did what was necessary. It greatly improved his health and gave him access to the Haixingzhen way of life. Once he relearned how to fight with his new balance and got new clothes with full back panels, no one could tell anymore. After a couple years, he stopped leaning on his thao for certain moves, kept a normal distance from window ledges. The sky was so big and bright here. He discovered which university buildings had roof access and kept his balcony neat. On classroom outdoor trips, far from the light pollution of the city, he got up in the middle of the night to sit outside and stare at the endless stars. They pulled him to them, a familiar loss of gravity. He could imagine his family, his past friends, having once felt the same call. Always, he smiled and thanked them for his blessings. Shen Wei feels like the world is tilting, teetering on the edge of going back to sleep. He tries to roll over or to sit up. He's not sure which way is up or where he is. What he does perceive is that he is dizzy, cold, and that his back itches fiercely.
"Professor, stop! We think you fractured..."
The lights are too strong. Shen Wei's eyes water uncontrollably. The room swims in and out of foggy, dusty shades. Without moving his arms, Shen Wei pushes down and away. His wings hit something solid. Furniture? People? Pain resonates through his whole body. The unfortunately familiar rusty notes of bones grinding against bones. This is simply a recurring nightmare. On automatic, he reaches blindly, spreads his wings, and grips their highest point, ignoring the sharp torment he remembers only too well. He gets ready to pull and... hands cover his and gently pull them away. Shen Wei would resist, except he recognizes the touch of those hands. the shape of the words being said to him.
Shh, shh, hey, it's okay. You can heal them later, after we've splinted them. Please lay down. We've got you.
Shen Wei lets Zhao Yunlan guide him. His consciousness drifts, as light as ashes floating away from a fire. His long, loose hair flows down from his face and down a pillow like river shadows. He is too exhausted to brush it off his face. Each of his breaths raise and lower what he can see of his wings. They remind him of the rumbling mountains he used to fly over, looking for anything left to eat, first for him and his brother, then for his troops. Once, with Kunlun. Shen Wei's brain is fuzzy, his tongue thick. He doesn't want to go back to sleep, but has little choice in the matter. Kunlun is the first person to see through the concealing power. Not right away, but once, when they're talking at night on a cliff. Kunlun steals his mask. Shen Wei makes a grab to get it back, and Kunlun stills. Tilts his head, squints comically. Then he exclaims,
Shen Wei, what is this blocking the sky at your back?
Shen Wei had shown him. Kunlun had been extremely confused, yet absolutely enchanted by them. Even more so when Shen Wei took him in his arms and stepped off the cliff. Soaring together that one time was worth all the aches and pains of the following days. Shen Wei surfaces to someone combing fingers through his feathers, tender and familiar. It is very, very nice. He hums, shifts into the touch. His eyelids feel heavy and sore, but he doesn't need to open them yet. It can only be one person.
Kunlun, you're back.
Mm-hmm, he agrees, voice honeyed by amusement. And your wings are back.
Oh, yes. Do I get to keep them?
Shen Wei mumbles softly. The hand pauses its caress. Shen Wei frowns, blinking embers out of his vision and focusing briefly on woodland brown eyes. Zhao Yunlan appears stricken, yet determined.
Yes. No more sacrifices.
Shen Wei dreams of flying over fields bathed in golden light. His friends and family watch from below, their joyous laughter echoing on the wind carrying him. Shen Wei wakes up in bed, surrounded by people. Some are quietly bickering in a corner, bent over the soft glow of a screen. Most are asleep, bundled in various blankets. Dawn softens all their features. Da Qing is purring between one of Shen Wei's wings and his shoulder, his fur sun-warm. Zhao Yunlan himself is resting near Shen Wei, his hair nest proof of his worry. Shen Wei brushes a few locks away from his face. Aloft or grounded, this is his home. The end.
Oh my gosh. I just want to, first of all, thank you all so much for listening. And I especially want to thank Moon Raccoon for being such a phenomenal partner in this pod together, my very first pod together experience, definitely something I plan to do again. I just had so much fun bouncing ideas back and forth with you and then watching this incredible fic take shape. So thank you so much for convincing me to do this. I definitely wouldn't have done it without you. And huge thanks also to Nay for being a terrific beta. I know I didn't really get in on the writer beta experience, but I saw all your comments on the document, and thank you so, so much. I'm just... this has been so much fun. Thank you, everyone. Hope you enjoyed, and thank you so much for listening.
First, his dark energy scatters outward. His feet searching for purpose. His energies must have drifted and got caught up in the...